You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Governor's Island has been many things throughout its long history, a settlement for the Dutch West India Company, an American fort during the 1800s, a base for the Coast Guard more recently, and the site of a 1988 summit meeting between Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. But the island wasn't open to the public until 2003, and this summer it becomes a public art space. This World and Nearer Ones, 19 site-specific works of sound, sculpture, film, and installation, is the first major art exhibit ever held there. Mark Beasley from the arts organization Creative Times served as its curator, and he joins us now along with Anthony McCall, one of the featured artists. I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show. Hi.
Hi. Hello. Welcome.
And you must be very pleased that the Times gave such a big featured article on this just in time for you to come on our show.
Sure, it's wonderful.
Now, Governor's Island sits very prominently in New York Harbor, but many New Yorkers don't know much about it. Can anyone go there?
You can now. Throughout the summer, it's open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to the public, and there's a ferry that runs every hour. So, yeah, it's open to the public, I believe, since 2003.
And free? The ferry free?
It is.
Like
it's
the
free.
Island
it's
ferry?
A wonderful thing.
Now, the two of you are British. Was the island used by the British during the colonial period? Is that why you're there?
Good question. I'll tell you no lies. Yes.
Really?
In some sense. No, the island was initially a Dutch colony, then a British colony, and then, of course, as you mentioned, a military base and a site for the U.S. Coast Guard. There are a number of Brits in the show. I am a Brit, I guess, in some sense. I kind of work with those artists that I'd thought could make good use of the island or respond to its history in a dynamic or interesting way, I guess.
Well, Anthony, do you live in New York?
Yes, I've been in New York since 1973.
So have you thought much about Governor's Island until you were asked to make a piece, a site-specific piece there?
I've always been interested in the islands around Manhattan. There's a number of them. But I never was particularly involved in that island, no.
Were you surprised by what you found when you visited there?
It's an astonishing sight to find. It's like stepping into Western Massachusetts in some way. It's like a college town with mature trees and Victorian houses, and then this extraordinary sort of glimpse between the houses of Wall Street.
Well, although the island has been uninhabited since 1996, there's a rich architectural history there. Mm-hmm. And it can be confusing. You're passing colonial houses and forts in one moment and then recently built apartment houses. Have the older ones been well preserved, Mark?
They have. The upper part of the island is the more colonial history of the island is being kept and preserved and maintained, and the former barracks in the lower part of the island will all be demolished over the coming years, and the park's being redesigned by West 8, so it'll become the central park for New York Harbor.
Well, there's been a lot of debate over what to do with it.
Exactly.
And is this this exhibit a suggestion of where the kind of use that the island might be put to in the future?
In some regard, I think it's rare that artists get the opportunity to involve themselves in the becoming fabric and history of any site or situation. So it was remarkable to be given the opportunity by GIPET, Governor's Island Preservation and Education Committee, to insert artists' voices at a stage as the island kind of develops.
And Anthony, you were allowed to go wherever you wanted?
Well, I'd been having some conversations for a while with Anne Pasternak of Creative Time about what kind of spaces would be suitable for my projected work, and she knew that I was looking for spaces 30 foot tall or so on, and she told me there was this church, and then when she and Mark and I went to the island to look, of course it was turned out to be the ideal proportions for one of my pieces.
St. Cornelius Chapel.
St. Cornelius Chapel.
When was the chapel built?
I'd be guessing, I think in the turn of the century. Mm-hmm. Mark, would you
I
say?
I believe so.
1910, something like that.
And when you saw it, did you then design a piece specifically for that site? Or was there a piece you already had in mind that worked very well with it?
That's the way I prefer to work. I with my projected works, I tend to prefer to make them outside pressure of any kind of showing. So, but then I have in mind certain kinds of spaces. This fitted exactly into those requirements.
Actually, the exhibit begins before we even get to the island. There's a piece on the ferry, isn't there?
There is. It's a piece by the artist Mark Wallinger, which he titles Ferry. So in a way, he claims the whole of the ferry as his work, which is quite intriguing approach to the audience in some sense. And it consists of two signs. The first reads goats, the second reads sheep. And the suggestion is that the audience choose, unwittingly or knowingly, which of the two they are.
So I can't imagine too many people go to the sheep side.
Possibly not. Possibly not.
You write that the prevailing mood of the exhibition is one of doubt in contrast to the mood of Manhattan and a nearby Wall Street where profit and cultural trade rely upon the heft of assertion.
Mm-hmm.
Were you looking for artists who were going to do things that suggested doubt?
I guess I maybe more than doubt the idea of an option or positing a question that the audience themselves could decide either way where they felt that they fell, I guess. The exhibit in the main looks at this moment after ideologies, after perhaps the collapse of things, ideologies such as socialism, perhaps even democracy itself, and it kind of considers this moment in the early part of the 21st century with the jet lag of the 20th century still with us almost. It asks us to consider where we are now, how we progress, how we move forward, I guess.
Well, you're just about under a mile from Lower Manhattan, and at the same time, you feel like you're in another world.
Uh-huh. The zones are, it's incredibly different. It's a five-minute ferry journey. You land on this green island. It looks like, as Anthony's mentioned, it looks like this scene from a movie. You could be anywhere upstate, Massachusetts, New England, and yet you're staring back at Lower Manhattan, back at Wall Street.
But there's also an almost apocalyptic feel to the island. This is a place where people used to live, but not anymore. And one of the artists, Bruce High, one of the artists made a film, right, Isle of the Dead, by the Bruce High Quality Foundation. That's a collective, actually.
It is.
It tells the story of a decimated art world coming back to life in zombie form. And it winds up on Governor's Island?
It does. They're a wonderful young collective based out in Brooklyn, which seems to be the site of many of the younger producers now in New York. And they run the Foundation for a Dead Artist. It's very kind of satiric in that sense. And I think they're a young practice or collaboration looking for the energy of the 21st century and trying to clamber over the ruins or the cultural ruins or ideologies of the 20th century, perhaps. And they do it through this satiric take that all of the artists of Manhattan have died. They awake from their slumber and somehow they're directed towards Governor's Island, whereupon they have one last hurrah, one last song, and they sing Bryan Adams' Summer of 69.
And there's also a satiric thing attached to another musical piece, Klaus Weber's Long Dark Wind Chime.
Yes, it's an outsized wind chime. It's roughly 12 foot in length. And whereas normal wind chimes are tuned to this kind of new age melodic upbeat tone, Klaus has decided to tune his to the devil's interval, as they called it in the 18th century. It was believed to summon evil spirits.
Now, the title of the exhibit, This World and Nearer Ones, is taken from a science fiction writer, Brian W. Aldiss, but he's British, isn't he? Were you familiar with his work?
Yes, I think I read many of his stories when I was growing up.
He uses it to describe an ancient Roman ruin. Great arches are broken, disfigured, beneath which a newer small house has been built in the shadow and ruins of empire. Life reblooms.
Yes, it's an image that's in the book. The book's a compilation. It's Brian looking back at his life and the different facets of his interests, I guess. Brian was key for a young New York artist, Robert Smithson. Aldiss wrote this book, Earthworks, and it was very influential for Robert Smithson. And for me, I wanted to make that link again, and especially as the island becomes, or looks to Central Park, perhaps, as a way of reforming itself and that place was, of course, very significant for Smithson.
Anthony, what about your piece Beyond You and I? Were you being purposely ungrammatical in titling it that?
quite deliberately, yes. The original descends from an earlier work called You and I, entirely grammatical. And there was a whole series that then followed, and I had to keep the term precisely the same. So I felt it was perfectly legitimate license.
It consists of two ceiling-to-floor film projections in a darkened chapel, and with the help of some fog machines, the lights form three-dimensional shapes that the visitor can walk through. It's difficult to explain, but it really has a mesmerizing effect. And your work has been like this for a while?
The first of my, I call these solid light films, or installations now, I suppose. The first one I made in 1973.
Line describing a cone.
And in those years, they were all made with 16mm film, and they were always horizontal. But in the last 6 years, I've been playing with vertical forms where the projectors are on the ceiling, projecting down onto the floor.
So these are cinematic, but at the same time, they don't feel like they're cinematic. I mean, they feel like they're like sculptures, except they're made out of nothing.
They're made out of light. They exist in some kind of in-between zone between cinema sculpture and, in fact, drawing, because fundamentally all they are is projected line drawings, which are made volumetric and visible with the addition of the mist in the space.
And were you inspired at all by the spiritual nature of the space? You did this in a chapel.
Many people that see my work have proposed that there's a spiritual element, and I think of that as being very much in the realm of the spectator, what the spectator finds. And I'm interested by it, but I don't consider it something that I have any control over, and so therefore I don't go there in a way.
Has Creative Time ever done an exhibit like this before?
Not entirely of this nature. Creative Time's been operating in the city for 35 years, so it's done a range of very exciting dynamic projects within the city. Recently a project called Democracy at the Park Avenue Armory, and a project in New Orleans with the artist Paul Chan. So increasingly Creative Time are looking nationally to support artists, and it is one of the dreams of Creative Time to support artists in that sense. So very much the impetus is to follow those thoughts and desires of artists.
And how long will this exhibit be up?
This will be up through the end of September.
And then you dismantle the thing. Can it be recreated anywhere else, Anthony?
My pieces can be, yes. They're site-sensitive rather than site-specific, and in fact, Between You and I, which was made in 2006, has been shown in a number of equally scaled buildings, though of very different nature.
Because that's a problem with site-specific works. They are usually just made for one place, and that's that. When the exhibit is over, or winter comes, or whatever.
Sure. Well, the best site-specific work draws part of its meaning from the site, and so therefore to move it is in some sense to kill it.
Thank you both so much for being with us. We've been talking to Mark Beasley and Anthony McCall about This World and Nearer Ones. It's on Governor's Island, and it's presented by Creative Time. And if you want to go there, Governor's Island is free and open to the public Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. The exhibits are open Fridays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturdays and Sundays from 12 to 6. And the ferry is free. It departs from the Battery Maritime Building, which is adjacent to the Staten Island Ferry Terminal in Lower Manhattan, every hour. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.